I'm so glad you're here this morning. I hope you've had a fantastic week. I hope you've stayed healthy. Everybody I know around me seems to be getting sick. I was sick like 10 days ago, got over mine. But if you're not, be sure you're washing your hands all the time. Don't suck the air to the person next to you, Miss Carolyn, consider scooting over from Hank just a little bit. You want to be careful, but seriously, just stay healthy because this is a very sick time. I got the norovirus, and I thought it was ironic because just 2 days before, I had been seeing our son, Will, and his wife, Nora, and I didn't know she'd give me that virus, but I got the norovirus, and it was not very fun. This is our last week on lesser-known women of the Bible. I have enjoyed this series. It's been meaningful to me, and I was really torn about what to do this last week. I told Becky I'd written the class, but I had not written the PowerPoint yet. And this was yesterday afternoon, and all of a sudden I got this harebrained idea about teaching an entirely different class. And so I thought, you know, I could do that, and I could do that in time. And then I decided that that was stupid. Then I thought, well, maybe I'll do this one more week. And I thought, no. I've already turned the page in my brain. We're through with all those lesser-known women of the Bible, though I have enjoyed it. So I want to start today's class with a film clip. Who knows this movie? Our five-year-old Gracie, when she was five, our daughter Gracie, when she was five, called it the Lizard of Oz because she wasn't familiar with the word wizard, but she didn't know what a lizard was. So here is your film clip. This is just to throw off a Janet YouTube so that they'll edit vociferously this file. But here it is. And the good witch Glinda sends snow. And the snow suppresses the spell, and they are able to wake up, and Dorothy, Toto, and the gang get back on the yellow brick road. Now, this doesn't serve simply as an inspiration for an Elton John song, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. It actually has a deeper purpose. Frank Baum wrote the books, The Wizard of Oz. And Frank Baum was, I don't know much about him, but I do know that he was Jewish and he had a pretty good command of some aspects of the Hebrew language, because even Oz is the Hebrew word Oz for means strength. And so the Wizard of Oz is strong. He's the Wizard of Strength. And he has in this a concept of the yellow brick road, though it doesn't explicitly say it, but that's the safe path to get where you're going, to the Emerald City. The poppy field was the gorgeous shortcut. And Dorothy and her friends took the shortcut, and but for direct intervention of the Good Witch Dorothy, of Good Witch Glinda, they would have died. And that is a wonderful metaphor that we can track through to help us better understand today's class. So, here's what we're doing for the lesser known woman of the Bible today. We will start in the first section with the path metaphor, because the path metaphor is part of the subject that we will be learning. This woman that we're going to be looking at is what we might call a deceptive beauty, the poppy fields, if you will. And we will, third, look at the consequences of this issue. Now, last week we had an interview, kind of a middle piece to this class, but this really is the sister class to one I taught 2 weeks ago, if you were here. 2 weeks ago, I taught a class where I began the class by asking the question, who am I? To identify this lesser-known woman. And I gave you clues. I quoted from one of the passages about this woman, saying she helped a king rule justly. Then I quoted from another passage to give you a second clue. She cried out in the streets and raised her voice in the public square. Then, if you were having any trouble, I gave you a third clue. I was there when God set the heavens into place. Many of you, if not most of you, were able to identify the woman we spoke of 2 weeks ago in the prior class was Lady Wisdom. And so she comes onto the scene in great plum and splendor, in the book of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom. Now, when we looked at wisdom, it was very important because you read of it like she's a person. And a lot of people have looked at her and said, oh, this is an Old Testament description of Jesus. And I suggested that that's not accurate, that Lady Wisdom certainly is a window into the character of God. And Jesus is a window into the character of God as well. So certainly we see aspects of Lady Wisdom that are aspects also of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we should be reading about Lady Wisdom as if she's an actual individual. Rather, she is, as my first point was last class, she is a literary device, personification. It's the same principle as death being the grim reaper. Death is being personified as the grim reaper. Death's not literally a person. This literary device in the Proverbs of Lady Wisdom is one that also has a counterpart to Lady Wisdom. And that's the woman that we will be speaking of today. She is what we can call fairly the strange woman. Now, this is an AI-generated image. I needed artificial intelligence to generate a picture of this strange woman. And that's not easy to do. You can't just say to AI, give me a picture of a strange woman. When you say that, you won't believe some of the options you get. So instead, what I had to do is come up with some of the descriptions, but some of the descriptions of the strange woman includes her being a seductress. So you have to be very careful when you plug those words in and ask for artificial intelligence to generate an image. So I went in further and I said, now this is a woman whose image I will be showing in my Sunday school class. That got us a little bit further along. But you don't want this to be some hobo-looking woman, because she's not. She's supposed to be alluring. She's supposed to be captivating. She's supposed to be something attractive to the eyes. Look, when Dorothy sees the poppy field between her and the Emerald City, it wasn't a bunch of tumbleweeds and dirt storms in Lubbock, Texas, or she might have wanted to stay there. It was something beautiful that took her off the yellow brick road. Now, I call this a strange woman. And the reason I call her a strange woman is that's what the Hebrew uses. It uses the word for strange. But this strange woman is also a literary device, just like the counterpart, wisdom. And so I want us to look at this lesser-known woman of the Old Testament, of the Bible, this strange woman. And we will do it in those three ways. We will look at, first, there's a metaphor that lies at the heart of this about a path. And that's where we'll start before we go to the others. So Scripture, especially the wisdom literature, which includes Proverbs and much of the Psalms, Scripture speaks of paths in life. We do that today. You take the high road, there's less traffic on it. Robert Frost, two roads diverged in the wood, I took the one less traveled. We are conscious of the idea of a path. But there's something particular about it, the way the metaphor is used in Scripture, specifically one of the Hebrew words in particular, and that is this Hebrew word, derech, which means way. This is the D sound. That's an E. This is an R sound. That's an E. And this is a K at the end of a word, so it's got a long tail. Sometimes it's got a different form, but it always does if it's in the middle of a word. But Derek. And I thought, how can I help you remember this word through at least lunch? This is the best I could come up with. This class is being taught, if you're on the internet, we're in Houston, Texas. This is oil country. And this is an oil derrick. Now, it doesn't pronounce the same as the Hebrew word derech, but I could spell it. It doesn't matter because we don't say it the way it's spelled anyway here. I mean, it's like oil, O-I-L is oil. You got oil derricks. That's just, you know, we pronounce things different. Look, This is a freebie for you on the internet who want to know how to speak Texas. Do you know what this is? You know what that is? That's in Lubbock, what we say right after we get through a church. Squeet. Squeet. Or you might say, let's go eat. But we're just squeeting. Because that's Texas. That's Lubbock talk for let's go eat. Squeeting. This is direct. So you can remember now, direct means the way, the path. When Isaiah says, prepare the way of the Lord, talking about John the Baptist, direct, or Derek, if you want to say it that way, I'm not going to stop you. Deuteronomy 8:6 uses this because this is a word that is an important word biblically. It's what we would call a covenant word in the Old Testament. Now, what I mean by a covenant word is it's a word that's tied to the covenant that God had made with Israel. It's an important word to the nation of Israel as a corporate whole and as individuals. So in Deuteronomy, where you've got Moses putting together kind of a synopsis of the covenant between God and Israel, you see a passage like Deuteronomy 8:6. So you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your God by walking in His derech, His ways, His paths, and by fearing Him. See, it's tied closely to that idea of a covenant, the agreement, the bond between God and His people. This becomes very important as we unfold the way this word is used in wisdom literature. Here's another passage out of Deuteronomy 10:12. Now, Israel, what does Yahweh, your God, require of you? But to fear Yahweh, your God, to walk in all His derech. In this form, it'd be daraka, but it's the same basic word, derech. To walk in all of His ways, all of His derech, all of His paths, to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. See, this is a covenant word. It's tied closely to the agreement that Israel has made with their God. It's tied closely to what God calls Israel to do. If you fast forward to Solomon, when Solomon is getting the agreement in place with God, in 1 Kings chapter 3, 14, God says to Solomon, if you will walk in my derech, if you will walk in my ways, if you will walk in my paths, if you will keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, I will lengthen your days. The path metaphor is one that's tied tightly to the commitment that a person of God has to God. It's what we can call covenant language. And so this covenant language is something we don't want to lose track of as we try to understand what we're going to be reading here in Proverbs. Because it's not the only path. You know, there are multiple paths that we can choose from to walk. And these paths will compete for us. We can choose to walk in covenant with God, or we can choose a different path. And that's what Scripture teaches. And so when we get to the book of Proverbs, and we find passages like Proverbs 4:11, which says, I have taught you the derech. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. Wisdom is that window into the character of God. It's integrally tied here to the covenant relationship we have, that we will walk in the light of God. We will walk in the way of God. We will let His word be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. We will be illuminated in our walk on the way, on the path, by the word of God. By the way, spoiler alert, in the New Testament, this word has great punch also, because the early church is called the way. Using the Aramaic word for way, most likely, but the same concept. It is a covenant word. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. That's where you're to walk. Opposed to that is this other woman, not Lady Wisdom, but the strange woman. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the derrick of the evil. Same word, derrick. Don't walk in the derrick of the evil. These are the paths that we can choose. We're not to choose any path except the path of God. If we are followers of God, that means we follow His path. There are so many metaphors that are built into our very language on this. We walk in the Lord. We walk by the light of His word. We follow His path. Jesus, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We have a choice of which path we take. Now, Proverbs 9, 1 through 6 gives you this contrast of the competition between these two ways for you. Listen to me. This is not an abstract idea. It's personified so that we get it real. There is a competition pulling in your life, in your heart, and in your mind right now, today. Wisdom has built her house. She sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Walk in the derrick. Walk in the way of insight. Wisdom's begging you. Walk in the way of wisdom. But look what the same chapter says about the woman folly. The woman folly sits at the door of her house. Go back. Wisdom has built her house. She sent out her young women to call. Folly sits at the door of her house. And she's personally calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Derech, straight on their way. Hey, come here. Turn aside. You don't need to walk the way of the Lord. Come walk with me. See, these paths compete for you. These ideas personified in these women are fighting for your attention and your devotion. And that is the path metaphor that sets it up. So now let's spend some time and look at this deceptive beauty. She is indeed a strange woman. Say, all right, where's this coming from? Proverbs 5:3. The lips of a strange woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Zarah is the word for strange in Hebrew. And it's an interesting word because of the layers of meaning. But part of the idea behind it is another word that's frequently used with it in the Hebrew. And that's a word for a foreign woman. Now, don't get all xenophobic on me here. Foreign in this sense is not someone who lives outside our country. Foreign in this sense is someone who lives outside the people of God. People of God don't know country boundaries. The people of God are one church around the world and throughout all time. There is one church. And our brothers and sisters in that church are in that church regardless of where they live geographically or chronologically. But the foreign woman, in the sense of someone who is not following God, is where we need to be careful, bless you. Proverbs 5:3. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a foreign woman? Here you see Zerah and Nekriah put together, foreign and strange, and they often nestle with each other. And there's a reason why. Now, by the way, the English Standard Version only gives you that translation in a footnote. Somehow we lost the English Standard Version up here. So what I've got instead is an NIV. And the NIV, interesting, have used the word, it looks like, first of all, I may have the site wrong, Proverbs 5:3, but use the word of an adulteress. But the Hebrew doesn't say adulteress. It certainly includes the concept, but it doesn't say it. It uses the word strange, and it uses the word foreign woman. There's a reason why. And if we just get off into the adulterous part, we are going to miss a lot of the meat of this passage. Because foreign women were the downfall of so many people in Israel's history. If you read 1 Kings 16 through 22, you'll read the story of Ahab and Jezebel. It's a pretty bad story. Jezebel is a foreign daughter of a foreign king who gets married to Ahab, the king of Israel. And when she gets married, she brings with her all of her foreign gods. And oh, the story is told in such a way that it's not hard to see what happens. I mean, it is not unusual for people to be beguiled by that which is foreign or exotic, as opposed to that which is the same old, same old. And this is a warning against that. This is a warning that that which is foreign to God is not to be that which we chase after or listen to. And that's true whether it's an individual or whether it's an activity or whether it's an idea of how to live. Think of this in the path metaphor. Our path is not to be dictated by those who don't know God. Our path is to be dictated by the Word of God. And if we confuse the two, we're off into foreign land chasing foreign women or men or whatever you want to do in the personification. Look, Jezebel is so bad that Elijah, the prophet, after he does his stuff, here you've got it. So Ahab marries Jezebel. Jezebel influences Ahab. He sets up worship of the Baals and all of this kind of stuff. And Elijah, the prophet, goes after him and Elijah the prophet, they had that big showdown on Mount Carmel. And with that big showdown on this mountain where it's open for the plains to see, if you look at the geography, this wasn't some hidden something in some nook of a mountain. This is wide open. And Elijah calls down fire from God. First, the people from Baal try to call down fire from God to burn their sacrifices. And Baal doesn't answer. And Elijah starts mocking him. Hey, maybe he's asleep. Why don't you yell a little louder? Dance. I bet he'd love to see you dance. And so you've got, cut yourself off. Let him see some fresh blood. And I mean, you got these prophets of Baal just doing it and doing it and doing it. And finally Elijah says, sit down, let me show you who's God. You might want to pour some water on here. Just make it a little harder. They soak the sacrifice. He calls. God sends down lightning, consumes it all. The prophets of Baal are slaughtered. And what does King Ahab do?
He goes home and tells his little foreign woman what happened. It was a bad day.
Honey, how was it today?
It was really bad. Elijah did all these things to our prophets. Here we had this brand new religion from you, and look, he just kind of poured water and fire all over it.
Chapter 19, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel, I mean, Ahab's just some wimpy boy who goes home and tells his wifey, well, you go fight for me. So Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods, plural, Baal, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them, the dead prophets. Well, I mean, Elijah, he's already faced the prophets of King Ahab. He's already seen God destroy the Baal. He knows the Baals are nothing. God has brought great victory. So what does Elijah do? He was scared to death and ran for his life. He was scared of that foreign woman because hell hath no fury like Jezebel scorned. That's in Shakespeare. I mean, you just keep reading. Sometime later, there was an incident involving, I'm in chapter 21, a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king. Ahab said, hey, Naboth, I want your vineyard to use as a vegetable garden because it's real close to my palace. That way I can have the freshest corn. I added that part. In exchange, I'll give you an even better vineyard. Or if you prefer, I'll give you cashola. Naboth said, Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. Land then was associated with your family, and it was part of who you were. So what did Ahab do? He went crying to Jezebel. Ahab went home sullen. That's pouty. He was pout fish. He went home sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I won't give you the inheritance of my fathers. He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?
It's Naboth the Jezreelite. I told him to sell it. He said, I won't do it.
Jezreel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up. Eat. Cheer up. I'll get it for you. She trumps up charges, has a fake trial, has Naboth killed, and just takes it. This is the evil foreign woman who may allure you with the exotica, But at her core, if she doesn't know the Lord, she is evil. And we get this, Proverbs 6. The commandment is a lamp, the teaching is a light, the reproofs of discipline are the derech of life. They're the way of life. To preserve you from the isha ra, the evil woman. Don't desire her beauty in your heart. Don't let her capture you with her little eyelashes. Now, don't, hey, let's set all sexism aside for this passage, okay? Men, you can take this to heart, but you can be just as beguiled by an idea system as you are by a woman. You can be just as captive to sin that's being trumpeted and foisted upon you because you idolize some fella as much as a woman. And women, you're not excused from this either. Because the goal of this is not to teach, oh, we're just talking about adultery. The goal of this is to teach, we're talking about something much broader. We're talking about two different ways of life. You follow God or you follow the evil. This is a personification of evil. It's not a gender thing. Evil is attractive. It can be beautiful in your heart. It can flutter and get your attention and make you think, oh. Yeah. Think about, do you remember in, this would have been a good movie clip to add. Do you remember in The Jungle Book when Mowgli is the snake, the trust in me. And the snake's big eyes, trust in Mowgli's eyes, and he starts falling under the spell. That's what it's talking about here. Don't fall under the spell of what may seem to be beautiful in the exotic. This is also a woman of folly. Look at this passage. The woman, folly, is loud. She's seductive. Even though she doesn't know anything. And nothing she knows of what is. She doesn't know diddly squat. But boy, you'd never know it by listening to her. Casilote. She is like very loud, but not in a smart way. This word is translated folly and capitalized because it's being personified. But honestly, the word, if you look it up in a Hebrew dictionary, it's stupidity. It's the exact opposite of Lady Wisdom. Any way that's not the way of the Lord is a stupid way to go down. It's just stupid. It may look great. It may try to seduce you, but they don't know diddly squat. And that is a literal translation. The woman's stupidity is loud, you could say. She's seductive. She doesn't know anything. She does not know, what's the expression? She doesn't know the difference between come here and sick 'em. And that makes for a dangerous dog. She's loud. This word for loud is used for dogs growling. It's used for lions roaring. It's used for murmur. She's boisterous. She's out there. You're going to hear her. She is woman. Hear her roar. Just because it's loud, just because it's exotic, just because it seems powerful, just because it seems grand, just because it seems attractive, does not mean you should follow it. Follow the way of the Lord. That's the lesson. This woman's stupidity is loud. And she's also a trickster. She's deceiving. She's deceptive. Wisdom will deliver you from the derech, the way of evil. From the strange, zara, woman from the foreign Nicriot with her smooth words, the foreign woman with her smooth words. This strange woman, this foreign woman, is a woman with smooth words. That phrase, smooth words, these are words that are not just smooth, though they are, they're almost oily slick in the Hebrew. But that also makes them very seductive and very flattering. The ways of the world, the path of the evil woman, the ways contrary to the way of God have an appeal to them. That's what's so enticing about it. That's what makes it so hard to say no. That's what, and don't get me wrong, rarely do people just jump off the edge of a 100-story building. They generally will just say, well, isn't that interesting? Well, that's something I'm not going to get into. I might just dabble my toes in it, see what the temperature is. Then you just sort of dabble your toes in it, just a little bit. Oh, that's kind of warm. Huh, who'd have thought? Wonder if it's that warm down below it. Let's get a little bit in there. Huh, yeah. And pretty soon they're just swimming laps. Proverbs 5:3, the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. That's sweet. That's apple pie sweet. Her speech is smoother than oil. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not going to get tricked because I go to church. Right. I mean, this is the way of the evil one. What's the very first temptation Satan puts out to Jesus? Turn the rocks into bread. And this is after Jesus has gone 40 days without eating. I mean, what could be friendlier than offering bread to a starving man? That first one is just, it's forbidden, dripping with honey, and smoother than oil, with some flattery mixed in. Hey, if you're the Son of God, you can do this. Get something to eat, and then we'll talk. The woman folly, the strange woman, is deceiving even to the religious. I mean, this strange woman, look at what continues from the verse I gave you. From the lips of a strange woman, for the lips of a strange woman drip honey, her speech is smoother than oil. Look at this. Time out. I threw this in here just for grins. Strange, that word zara, strange, is also loaded in the Old Testament with bad connotations of foreign influence. So you have Nadab and Abihu who took their censers and offered strange zara, fire before the Lord. You get passages like Deuteronomy 32. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. This word strange is used in that way. Now you go back to the Proverbs passage and here's where it goes. She seizes him. She kisses him, and with a bold face, she says to him, I had to offer my peace offerings, and today I've paid my vows. Hey, I went to church. I paid my peace offerings. I've sacrificed. Which, by the way, meant she also had some meat to take home from the sacrifice. So she's ready to feed him. But look how pious. So you come with me, and we'll have our fill of love till the morning, she says. The evil one and his path and his schemes are deceptively beautiful. But boy, do they come with bad consequences. I told you, Scripture teaches of paths. And these two different paths, one is a path of wisdom and one is a path of folly. The strange woman. And if you look at the passages, the life of wisdom is one of life. It's one that gives you all of the joy of life. It's one that gives you a fulfillment of life. It's one that doesn't leave you empty, aching, and hollow. It's one that leaves you sated, satisfied, and rejoicing. This is a path that goes to death. It can't get much clearer. The lips of a strange woman drip honey, her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, she's bitter as wormwood. She's sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. In the wisdom literature, this isn't only in the Psalms. One of my favorite only in the Proverbs. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 1, very first Psalm. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way, derech, of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and on his law he meditates day and night. Next week, Pastor Jarrett is going to be preaching at the North Campus. And Pastor Stephen Morris from the North Campus is going on spring break. So they had a big hole here in the pulpit next Sunday. So I get to preach next Sunday. And I'll preach. Yeah, that just means you get out early. I get to preach the 8 o'clock service, and then I'll teach class here, and then I'll preach the 10:45 service. But the passage that I have is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And Paul talks about the fact that we who follow the Lord actually sit with Christ. And it contrasts, Paul's mind isn't far from this. We don't want to be those who sit in the seat of scoffers. That's not the path for us. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law we meditate day and night. And the person who walks the path of God is like a tree planted by streams of the water that yields its fruit in season, whose leaf doesn't wither. In all he does, he prospers. But the wicked, they're not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. And this is what we get here. These paths, this covenant language. We want to walk in the covenant of the Lord. Please understand why this is important, that it's covenant language. Covenant doesn't involve just you. Don't read this like a narcissist and think it's all about you. It's about you, but it's about a whole lot more. And this picture is the best illustration I've got. That's you and me. And this is covenant. And when we don't walk in the way of God and we breach covenant with Him, it will hurt our relationship with God. But it doesn't stop there. When we choose the path of folly of the strange woman, when we choose the path of wickedness or of the enemy, all of us, male, female alike, when we make those choices, it will affect our family. Don't even begin to think it won't. And it won't only affect our family. It will affect our community. This is what covenant is. Covenant will affect you and God, your family, your community, all before it pias you in the side of the head. So what do we do with this? Where's our take home for this? Well, if we've got these roads, I want to suggest at the beginning we choose wisely. Make a good choice here. I'm not saying you're not going to sin. I'm not saying you're not going to fall down. I'm not saying you're not going to make mistakes. We are. And praise God, we're covered by the blood of the Lamb, and we have full forgiveness. I'm not saying that this is the basis of your salvation. It's not. I'm saying this is part of your life. This is where you are blessed. This is where you prosper. This is what yields its fruit in its season. This is the leaf that doesn't wither. This is being planted by waters of life. That's all in this good path. Whereas Lady Folly is bitter as wormwood, sharper than a two-edged sword that will cut you like nobody's business. And it leads to death. So let's choose wisely. But it's very important we understand this applies to everyone. You don't get a pass just because you're a woman. You don't get a pass just because you're a man. You don't get a pass based on your age. You don't get a pass based on your skin color, based on how good your eyesight is, based on whether or not you smile, what your clothes reflect, your socioeconomic background, your education. You don't get a pass, period. This applies to everyone, and it's why in Proverbs 9 we read, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Wisdom calls out for whoever is simple, and so does folly. That same language is used of both. So whoever, all of us, it applies to everyone. And the wild part is you get to pick which road you want to walk down. I said, well, I want to walk down that road. I'm just not able. Oh, go listen to Jarrett's sermon 5 times this morning about how you are empowered by the same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead. If he has enough power to resurrect Jesus from the dead, he has enough power to help you pick. Will you fall down? Yes. Will you need forgiveness? Yes. What do? You get back up and you make the right choice as best as you can, and you try to fix what you messed up in whatever incarnation that takes. But you get to pick. Look at these words I pulled out of Proverbs 8. Listen. That's you. Choose to listen. Keep. Hear, don't neglect, watch, wait, find, obtain. These are choice words. You get to choose. And you make this choice every day. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, wisdom says. This is a daily choice we have to make. I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to walk in the way of the Lord. I want to shun the way of the world. And I hope you'll join me in that as we bring this series to a close. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we ask your anointing on us, that you will inspire us to see the strength we have in you, to perceive the difference between the ways of the world and your ways. Father, we renew a desire to be your people who walk in your ways, the path of righteousness, following Jesus Christ our Lord. We desire to be more holy, H-O-L-Y, and holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, Lord. Both. We desire to be more holy yours. but we need your blessing to do it. So we cry to you in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.